Today's shir is Masechta Shvuos Daf Lamed Vav, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Vav Amar Aleph, on top of the Amid, the fifth line, Amar Bavur. We continue discussing Ola and Shvua. It says the Gemara, Menolan La'ola Shi Shvua. From where do we know that a Ola is a Shvua? Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Nebuchadnezzar said to Tzidkiyahu, Yehoyachin, who was Tzidkiyahu's brother, was sent into Golus, and Nebuchadnezzar appointed Tzidkiyahu to be the king in his place. But he made Tzidkiyahu swear that Tupshatim, Posh Pshat is, that he made Tzidkiyahu swear that he would not, rebel against him. Another pshat that I saw is the Gemara going back to Masechta Nedarim says that Tzidkiyahu had once seen Nebuchadnezzar eat a live rabbit, and Nebuchadnezzar made Tzidkiyahu swear that he would not disclose what he had seen to anyone. And the pasuk says, "V'yava oisa ba'ola," he made him swear ba'ola. V'ksiv. So here the pasuk uses the words Allah. V'ksiv, and there's another pasuk that says V'gad b'Nebuchadnezzar morad, that Tzidkiyahu rebelled and did not fulfill the shvur that he made. V'gad b'melech Nebuchadnezzar morad ashishbir b'alakim. So you see that here the pasuk uses the word Allah, and then the pasuk says that there was a shvur. So obviously Allah and shvur are interchangeable, and Allah represents a shvur. Tana. Says the Gemara, we learn in a Braisa, Oror, if somebody uses the words Oror by Nidui, it could mean a Cherim. There are certain halachas, as we learned them, Sechta Maid Katan, that apply to someone who's put into Cherim. By Klala, it could refer to cursing someone. And by Nidui, it could refer to a Shua. By Nidui, how do we know that the word Oror refers to a nidui? The ksiv, the pasuk says in Shoftim, when we have the Shiras Devorah, that Baruch says, Oru Merois, Oma Malach Hashem, Oru Yeshvehu, that Merois should be put into Cherim. Most Mepharshim explained that Merois was a city near where Klal Yisrael was under attack from Sisrai, and the people of the city of Merois did not come, Kiloibo be'ezras Hashem, they did not come to help the people of, to help Klal Yisrael, and that's all you put into Cherim. Others explain that Merois actually represents a person who refused to come help Vam Ula, and Ula says, what does that pasuk teach us? That Ba'aba Meir Shipure, Shamta Baruch Lamorois. Baruch used 400 shofars. That's part of the process when somebody's put into Cherim, and he used 400 shofars to put them into Cherim. So we see that Oror refers to a Cherim. Continues the Gemara, by Klala, if somebody says the word Oror and he means a Klala, that is what it means. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, Ve'elu Yamdu al Klala, the Pasuk discusses how six shvatim stood on Har Grizim, and six shvatim stood on Har Evel, and the pasuk says Ve'elu Yamda Klala, V'ksiv, that the six shvatim were standing on the mountain of the Klala, V'ksiv, and the pasuk says Oror Ish Ashiyasa Pesel. So you see that Oror and Pesel is the same. By Shvua, Oror can mean a Shvua. The Ksiv, V'yishava Yeshua Be'esahi Leimer Oror her Ish. And the Lefnei Hashem, the pasuk says that Yeshua made a shvua that no one may rebuild the city of Yericho. He said anyone who will be involved in rebuilding the city of Yericho, his oldest child will die as he begins, and his youngest child will die as he concludes. And the pasuk says, or that he uses the word or, and it says a yeshua. asked the Gemara, how do we know that Arur and Shvuah are synonymous? The Dov Matati Avad Lahu. Actually, perhaps what Yeshua did was that Ashbi'inu Vilatinu. He did both a Shvuah and a Klola. So we don't have a Raya that Arur and Klola are one and the same. Says the Gemara Ela Mahocha. The Raya is from this Pasuk. The Pasuk says, here too, the Pasuk is referring to an event where Shaul HaMelech was together with Klal Yisrael in a war, in a place that they were attacking the Plishtim, and Shaul wanted that the people of Klal Yisrael should concentrate on the battle, and therefore he said that no one, he made them make a shvua, that no one would eat that whole day. Yonason, the son of Shaul, was not there of the shvua, and therefore Yeshua tasted some honey, and the pasuk says, "Vish Yisrael nigash b'yomahu, v'yoel sholas om lemer or ish ashayoychel." He made a shvua saying, "Or ish ashayoychel." Except when the pasuk says, "V'yonason lo yishama b'shbi aviv v'sa'am." So we see that Shaul made an or, and the pasuk calls it a shvua. So from here we see that or and shvua are one and the same. Ask the Gemara, V'delma Hokinami, why don't we say the same shot here, that Tati Avalahu, that what Shaul did wasn't just make an Orr, he made a Shvua and an Orr, but we have no Raya that Orr and Shvua are the same. V'delma Tati Avalahu, Ashbi'inu V'latinu, but we have no Raya that there's one and the same. Answers the Gemara, V'ksiv V'Orr, if the Pasuk would have said V'Orr, then it would be Taka Raya, that Orr and Shvua are two separate things. The fact that the Torah just writes the word Orr, it's a Raya, that Orr is just a description of what happened before, and therefore Orr and Shvua are one and the same. Says the Gemara, now that we make this distinction, based if the Torah says the word Orr, or the Torah uses the word V'Orr, Hashta da'asus la'achi, now that we've given this teretz, Hasum Nami, we could go back to the pasuk that we discussed by Yeshua. It also doesn't say vi'orur, it just says orur, and therefore it's a right that orur and shvua are the same. Omar, Rabbi Yois, Rabbi Chanina, Amen. If somebody says the word Amen, in the word Amen are included by shvua, it could represent a shvua, by Kabbalah's Dvarim, it can represent that somebody is accepting something upon himself. And there's very interesting Rashi here. Rashi says, what does it mean, Kabbalah's Dvarim? That if somebody enters into a agreement with a Tanai, with a stipulation, the Amen represents that he's going to fulfill the condition. So I saw that Rabbi Kiva Eger asks, in the Gilyon of Shas on Rashi, what does it mean, and why is Rashi gives an example of a Tanai that it means that he's accepting the terms? Maybe he'll fulfill the condition and he won't have to follow the terms. Says, so I saw a number of terutzim. One terutz that I saw is that it's referring to a situation where he already has fulfilled or done whatever he said in the condition, and since he's already done whatever he said in the condition, now he has to fulfill the agreement because he doesn't have an option. In other words, if he said, if I do something, then I have to do something else. And he already did the thing that he said, if on, so now he already fulfilled the condition, and that's why it's considered a full-fledged, that's why he has to follow through if he said Amen. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw from the Rishash, that it means here that if some, we know, Parshas Mishpatim, Masechet Bava Metzia, discuss at great length the halachas of different shomrim, shemechinim, shemesachar, shoyel, sachar. But the halacha is that even if somebody agrees to be a shomer identified in the Torah, but he accepts it with different conditions, let's say he's a soicher, he's a renter, but he accepts upon himself the level of responsibility of a shoyel, he has to follow that rule. And that's what the Gemara is saying, is that if somebody accepts such a stipulation, he has to follow the stipulation along the same lines, I saw that the Stipler explains that what Rashi means to say. The Stipler says that what Rashi means to say is that if somebody hired a worker and they made up between themselves what will be the terms of employment, as soon as somebody says Amen, as soon as they both agree to those terms, that has to be, those are the terms of employment that must be followed through. That's what Rashi means. Boy, and the word Amen also means Hamanas Devarim, confirmation, and by saying Amen, and this is what the Rishonim say, Rashi and the Miri, that somebody says Amen after Tefillah, it means that he's accepting the Tefillah. Not only that, I saw for Rabbeinu Bechaya, we know Rabbeinu Bechaya was a Rishon, that the Gemara says, Godl Ha'ayna Amen, Yoysim Namavarech. Saying Amen is even greater than the one saying the Brach or the Tefillah. And he explains why. He says, we know that throughout Halacha, we've learned this Halacha ourselves many times, there's a concept of Kiyum Shtaris. Kiyum Shtaris meaning certification of a Shtar. And the way Kiyum Shtaris is accomplished is by two witnesses saying that they can confirm that these are the signatures, these are the authentic signatures of the Edim signed on a Shtar. And says the Rebbeinu Bechaya, we of course know that when we have such a situation, it's the second of the two Edim who are confirming the signatures that is considered the more vital aid. Why is he considered the more vital aid? Very obvious, says Rebbeinu Bechaya, because you need two, and it's the second person that, so to speak, makes it happen. So he says, that's what happens here too. When somebody says the tefillah, he's like the first aid that's accomplishing the Kiyum Shtaris. And when somebody answers Amen, he's the second aid to the Kiyum. And as we just explained, the second aid is the more important aid because he's the one that completes the Kiyum. That's why the halacha is that Godl Ha'ayna Amen, that not only must Amen be answered, but actually Godl Ha'ayna Amen Yoyser Min HaMavarech. So the Gemara goes into each one of these halachas too. By shvuah, how do we know that Amen represents a shvuah? The Ksiv, as the parasha says regarding the parasha of the Saita, parasha that we discussed at length in the Al Sugyas, the Ksiv Amr Isha Amen Amen. By Kabbalah Devarim, Amen represents an acceptance of the terms. The Ksiv Ora Shla Yochim is Divrei Torah Zois Lasis Ois of Amr Kala Amen Amen. Amen, going back to the parasha that we discussed earlier, Bahar Griz and Bahar Evo, this was said, and as the Mefarshim say, although there was many acceptances mentioned here, this is the strongest one, because here it says, Ashla Yochim, as called Divrei Torah Zois, refers to the whole Torah. By Hamanas Devarim, Amen represents a confirmation. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, there was a Navi, Hananya, who's actually a Navi Sheker, but he said a Nevuah that Hashem will bring back all of the Kalim taken by Nebuchadnezzar after 2 years, and so too will he bring back all the people that went into Golis. The Yoimer Yirmiyah Navi, and Yirmiyah Navi says, Amen, Ken Yasa Hashem, Yochem Hashem is Tvarecha. So we see that Yirmiyah said Amen to confirm Halavai, what you said should become fulfilled. Amar Belozer, says Rabbi Elazar, lav. If somebody uses the words lav, it's a shvua. No means a shvua. Hain means a shvua. Bishlama, says the Gemara, lav shvua. The lav represents a shvua, the ksiv, because the pasuk says, v'lo yeh oid hamayim lamabel. That Hashem says there will no longer be a mabel. And ksiv. And the pasuk says, ki mei zois noyachli ashenishbati. Hashem says, I swore that it won't bring a mabel. Where do we see that Hashem swore? Because he said, V'lo yeh. So we see that loy represents a shvua. However, ask the Gemara, hein shvua menolon. How do we know that the word hein, yes, represents a shvua? Says the Gemara, svaruhu. Mid lav shvua. Since the word lav, we've just said, represents a shvua. Hein nami, it must be that the word hein also represents a shvua. However, says the Gemara, Amarava, this that we just said, the lav represents a shvuah, as v'hu da'amah lav lav trezimni. If the word loy was said twice, And similarly, if the word hein was said twice, how do we know that it has to be said twice? The ksiv v'loyikores kabosar oid mimei hamabo. That's one time we said v'loy, and the second time the word loy was said v'loyia oid hamayim lamabo. So specifically, because Hashem said the word loy twice, that's why it's considered a shvuah. Otherwise, it's not considered a shvuah. Umidalav trei zimni, and that continues the Gemara. Since we connect the halacha of hein to the halacha of lav, so just like by lav, it's only considered a shvuah if it's said twice. Similarly, hein is also only considered a shvuah if it's said trei zimni, if it's said twice. The Rosh says, furthermore, that it has to be said, the lav has to be said one right after the other. If somebody asks me a question and I ask me to do something or whatever, and I say no, and then again I say no later, that certainly is not a shvuah. Only if it was said one time right after the other is it considered a shvuah. Furthermore, there's a machloikus rishonim. If in order for hein or lav to be considered a shvuah, does the shem Hashem have to be said? The Rambam is of the opinion that the Shem Hashem has to be said. However, most Rishonim are of the opinion that the word, the Shem Hashem, does not have to be said. It's just a machloikis, why and what. Some say that it doesn't have to be said because it's a shvur without the Shem Hashem. Others say it doesn't have to be said because it will be in the category of yodos. A nafkamina between these two pshatim is if when somebody says the word hein or lav, does it automatically become a shvur, or does the person have to have a mind that he wants a shvur? To the degree that some rishonim say not only does he have to have a mind that he wants it to be a shvur, but he has to have a mind that he wants it to be a shvur, just like it was a shvur when Hashem said the same loy twice. And the Mefarshim say, it depends on what opinion we follow. If we follow the opinion of the Rambam, who says that the Shem Hashem has to be said, so since the Shem Hashem has to be said, it's automatically considered a shvur, even if the person did not have any of those intentions in mind. Whereas, according to the other Rishonim, who do not require that the Shem Hashem be said, since they don't require that the Shem Hashem be said, in order for it to be considered a valid shvur, have a mind that it should be a shvur, like Hashem said it should be a shvur, or at least have a mind specifically that it should be a shvur. The Gra says, with this we can understand the pasuk that is in Malachi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kani Hashem loy shenisi, v'atem loy b'nei Yaakov loy chalisi. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the words in the Teichacha, v'af gam zois, b'yoysam b'eretz oyveyem, loy ma'astim, v'loy ge'altem l'chaloysam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu repeated the word loy twice, in making a shvuah, as we're learning now in the Gemara, that when the word loy is repeated, it means a shvuah. Says the pasuk in Malachi, Ani Hashem, I Hashem loy shenisi, repeated the word loy twice in the pasuk that we just quoted in the Teichacha. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the shvuah that he will never destroy Klal Yisrael, therefore, v'atam nayakov loy chalisam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can never destroy us because Hashem said, Loi, Ani Hashem, Loi Shenisi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the word Loi twice. Although, I did see that Reb Chaim Kanievsky asks that in the kinnis that we say on Tisha B'Av, in the Slichas we say in Yom Kippur about the Sarah Harugei Malchus, it says, On Sabas Kom HaShemayim, Im Eshma Kol Achar, Echpek Es Ha'olam Lamayim. And here it seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that he would bring a Mabel again. And here we're just saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by saying twice that he'll never bring a Mabel, it becomes a shvur that he has to follow. So how could we say there in the Slichas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu threatened that he would bring a Mabel? So I saw the Mefarshim respond, Rucham Kenevsky responds, that what he meant was that he won't, when what the Slichus means is they'll bring a Mabel, but it won't be the same type of Mabel that was in the time of Noach. Such a Mabel will never be repeated. Other Mabels, however, may indeed be a different type of Mabel, is not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore that he won't do. So we learned in the Mishnah that there's an Isser of Mekalo as a shame. The question is, what is included in who? What? When is one over Mekalo as a Hashem? HaMekalo B'Kulon Chayiv. Divrei Ramei. Ramei says, even one of the Kinuyim that's used, there's a Chayiv for Mekalo as a Hashem. B'Chom Paitrim, only if you used the Shem HaMefarish. There is a Machloikis Rishonim. What is considered the Shem HaMeyuchad? Rashi says that the Shem HaMeyuchad means the Shem of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. The Rambam, however, says that it doesn't specifically mean the Shem Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. The Shem Elokim, the Shem Adnus, also is included. And the Brisk Rav explains the basis of the Psak of the Rambam. He says, the Gemara Masechet Gedushin says that the Pasuk says, Zeh Shmi La'olam, V'zeh Zichri L'dor V'dor. And the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin explains that the Shem HaMeforish of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei may not be pronounced as the word is written, but we say Adnus. Says the Brisker Rav that that's exactly what the Machloikis is about. Everybody agrees that the Chacham Paitrim, he means the Shem HaMefarish. The question is, how do we understand what the Shem Adnus represents? Does the Shem Adnus represent another way of saying the Shem HaMefarish? That's the opinion of the Rambam, and that's why even according to the Chachamim, will the Rambam hold, if you mefarach Hashem with the Shem Adnus, Yechayiv, whereas Rashi learns the Shem HaMefarish means the Shem HaMefarish Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Tana Rabbanan. So now the Gemara explains the basis of this Machloikis. The Pasuk says, Ish Ish Ki Kalo Elokov V'Nosei Chetov. Matam Loimer V'Loik V'Anema. What does the Pasuk have to say that it's Osir to curse the name of Hashem? V'Loik V'Anema V'Noikiv Shem Hashem Mois Yomus. So says the Braisa, because if I only had the first pasuk, Yochalo Yechayiv Ela Shem HaMeyuchad Bavad, that there's only a chiyuv by the Shem HaMeyuchad, Menayin LeRabbis as Kinuyim, how do I know there's a chiyuv by the Kinuyim also? Tamaloymer Ish Ish Ki Kala Alakov Mikol Mokoyim, any Shem that's used is Chayiv. Divrei Meir. Here too we have a Machloikis. How to understand the opinion of Rameyer? That Rameyer is saying that Yechai by Kinuyim, what are included in the Kinuyim? Because as we learned in our previous year, there's certain Shemus of Hashem that are Nimchokim, that may be erased, and there's certain Shemus that ain't in Nimchokim, that may not be erased. So some Rishonim explain that according to Rameyer, even though he's including Kinuyim, he only means the Kinuyim She'enom Nimchokim, that may not be erased. Whereas others say that included in this are even Kinuyim of Shemois Hanim Chokim, Shemois that what do you call it? Even Shemois that may be erased. V'chom Maimrim, Al Shem HaMeyuchad, indeed there are two Psukim. But the way they explain is, Al Shem HaMeyuchad is a Chiyiv Misa, Vel Kinuyim Bashara, there's a Chiyiv, only a Chiyiv Lav. Furthermore, we learned in the Mishnah, Machloikis between Ramei and Rechamim, regarding a Makalal over V'imoy, if somebody, Rechamon HaNetzlan, curses his parents. And the same Machloikis we had, that according to Ramei, the Chiyiv is even B'Shem Hashem, the Machloikis is even, is by all Shemus, the opinion of Ramei, whereas the opinion of the Chachamim is that it's only by the Shem HaMefarish. Ask the Ramban Chachamim, who is the opinion of the Chachamim that is reflected in our Mishnah? Says the Gemara, Rav Menachem ben Yosi. It's the opinion of Rav Menachem ben Yosi. The Tanya Rav Menachem ben Yosi Omer, Benok v'Shem Yumas. The Pasuk says, V'noik v'Shem Hashem Mois Yumas, Rogoim Yirgmu boi Kol Eido, Tiger Ke'ezrach, Benok v'Shem Yumas. Now the words, Benok v'Shem Yumas, are redundant. Ma tam alay m'shem limud comes to teach us a makal of imay shem enechayv at shikal b'shem. And as the Rishonim explained, one of the drachim, one of the methods of explaining the Torah, im ene inyan l'dav azeh, if it's not relevant to the parasha in which it's stated to nail inyan acher, then make it then apply it to another subject. We don't need this pasuk to teach us halachas regarding someone who is mevarach as Hashem, because that halacha is already well explained by different psukim, as we actually learned in the previous piece of Gemara. So we say that even though this pasuk is referring to mevarach as Hashem, this word is coming to teach us that the halacha regarding mekal aviv imay, that the halacha is that one is only chayiv mekal aviv imay when he used the shem hamafirish. Continues the Gemara. If somebody chas v'shalom curses himself or curses someone else, he's chayiv alav. And as we learned in the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, here there's no dispute between Ramei and the Chachamim. Everyone is in agreement that any shame used, you'll be chayiv this lav. Everybody is in agreement regarding this halacha. But now the Gemara seeks the source, how we know that one may not curse himself or not curse another Jew. One has to be careful with himself, and cursing himself is certainly something which is detrimental to the person. Even though Tosfos interestingly points out that we've discussed earlier in our Masechta already the question if there, and actually it's a machloikis tanoim, we learned if one could physically damage himself. Here we're saying that everybody is in agreement that one may not curse himself. Explain the Rishonim in pointing out and in following up on what Tosfos says. Cursing oneself is actually more serious than harming physically oneself, because here one hurts his neshama, which is obviously more of a concern than just his body. And continues the Gemara, how do we know that this pasuk represents an issur lav? Could have oven amr beloy dama kol makom shnei misham pen v'al. Whenever the Torah uses one of these words, ena alaisa say represents a mitzvah alaisa say. The chaveroy, how do we know cursing one's chaver, somebody else, is your over lav? The ksiv loisakal cherish. I saw a very interesting tshuva for a Moshe. Our Gemara, we just learned, it teaches us that one may not curse himself or not curse another Jew. Says Rav Moshe, if one says, you know what, I'm going to curse myself and I don't care, even though the pasuk says that one has to be careful about himself, I don't care and I'm prepared to curse himself, says Rav Moshe, no one has a right to do so. However, says Rav Moshe, if one person approaches another person and says to the other person, I give you permission to curse me, he would be allowed to curse him, and he would not be over the lav. And Ramesh explains what is the difference between when one curses himself, that he may never curse himself, whereas when it comes to cursing someone else, if the person gives him permission, he may do so. So Ramesh explains it very interestingly. He says as follows. He says, when one curses himself, we really need to be concerned that that curse is going to become fulfilled. And because we have to be concerned that curse will become fulfilled, he may not curse himself. As the pasuk says, Rak Hisham L'cha. When one curses someone else, the concern, says Rav Moshe, is not that curse will become fulfilled. Because Rav Moshe says, if that's the case, it becomes an impossible world to live in, where somebody could curse someone else for no good reason, and the person will have to now always be concerned that curse will become fulfilled. So he says that the only real concern involved in cursing someone else, he says, is that by cursing someone else, it's a terrible act of embarrassment when you curse someone else that way. And because of that, says Rav Moshe, it's only usur if the other person is not concerned about that act of embarrassment. There is no concern. He's not over the lav if the person is Michael. Continues the Gemara. The Mishnah said, if the Toiveya said to the Edom, Yach Hashem, v'ken Yach HaLakim, zu Ola HaKsuv B'Torah. These are all examples of the Ola HaKsuv B'Torah. Says the Gemara, Yosef Kahana Kamed Rav Yehuda. The Yosef Kamar Hamasnis Kretnan. He repeated the Mishnah as we have the words in the Mishnah as we learned them. Amaloi, so Rav Yehuda said to him, Kane, don't say the words of the Mishnah as the Mishnah are stated. Rather, use a euphemism. Speak, instead of saying Hashem will strike him, say Hashem will strike them. Not to use words like this, that the person has to be atiftach pelasotin, the person has to be very careful how he mentions these words. A similar incident. Yosahu Merabon Kamed Rav Kahana, for Yosef Kamer. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Gam Kael Yototzcha Lo Netzach, Yachtecha V'Yusachecha Me'oil V'Shereshcha Me'eretz Chaim Sela. That Hashem Baruch Hu will completely rip out the person. Amalei Kanei, use a euphemism, speak in the third person, don't speak directly. And as the Mashah of course points out, what the Gemara means is that it's only when one is explaining the Psukim, when one is explaining Psukim of these Psukim in Tehillim, he should not use them as they're exactly stated, he should speak in the third person. But of course, says the Mashah, if somebody is reading Davening Tehillim, of course he has to say the words exactly as they were stated by Dovid HaMelech in Tehillim. He's not allowed to, of course, make any changes in the words of Tehillim. Ask the Gemara, Tarta Lamali, why do we have the same story, why does the Gemara have to say the same story twice? And here too, the Rishonim, the Ritva explains. The Gemara is not questioning is why the story happened twice. That's not a question, because there was two separate incidences where such an incident happened, where the story was, where somebody used words that were strong words, and they were told not to use them in this way, but rather to use them in an indirect manner. The question that the Gemara is asking is, what does the Gemara have to report, says the Ritva, explaining the Gemara, what does the Gemara have to report these two incidents separately? Answers the Gemara, Manatei Mahani Mili Masnisen, that only a Mishnah, in order to avoid it coming out not nicely, should be, the wording should be changed. Av b'kroy loy machninen. When we're speaking about psukim, we're never allowed to manipulate perhaps the words of psukim. Kamash mlon, that the same halacha applies by a pasuk. We learned at the end of the Mishnah, al yacha v'yavarecha v'yetav loch, that if he said to the Edom, you will not be punished if you say Edis, which we understand the implication that if you don't say Edis, you will be punished, and the same v'yavarecha v'yetav loch. So we only understand it through an implication, Ramey Mechayev, because obviously Rameya is of the opinion Mechla Lava Tashmei Hain, V'chomim Poitrim. The Chomim say since it wasn't said directly, it's not considered a klala. Ask the Gemara, how could we say that this is the explanation of Ramey in our Mishnah? V'loy lesle Rameya. Rameya, who says that the halachas of Tanoim, that we learn from Bnei God and Bnei Ruvain, that the halach is that the Tanai has to be said explicitly, and if it's not said explicitly, it's not considered a Tanai. So Rameya is of the opinion that we don't say Mechla Lava Tashmehein. V'lesle Ramey Mechla Lava Tashmehein. Epoch. Says the Gemara, we have to reverse the opinions in our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Hios Reb Yitzchok, Tanak Ritnan. Reb Yitzchok did not reverse the opinions stated in our Mishnah. Omar Reb Yosef, Hashtan Danan Tanan Hochi. Since we have a Messiah to learn the Mishnah as the Girsa we have in the Mishnah, and we have Rabbi Yitzchak also following this Messiah, Shmamina Dafkatanan, that the Girsa of our Mishnah is indeed correct. However, ask the Gemara Kasha, in our Mishnah we see Ramey is following the concept of Mechal Lava Tishmei Hain, and we, as we just said, we know Ramey from the Parasha of the Bnei God of Bnei Ruvain does not subscribe to that. Answers the Gemara, Kilesley, when does Ramey not subscribe to the concept of Mechla Lava Tishmehein? Strictly when it comes to Mamoina, when it comes to financial issues, a person has to be very clear in what he says. And otherwise, it's not considered valid. al bisura. When it comes to Isler, Ramei will agree to the concept of Mechlala Vatishmehein, which is the subject of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is referring to Shua Sa'edis. Ask the Gemara, Hare Saita di Surahu. The parish of Saita refers to Isser. Vom Rav Tanchim Bechanoi, Hinoki Ksiv. Tam Ksiv, Hinoki. Halav Chachi, Mechlala Vatishmehein, Loyaminan. There, as we've been learning, the Torah teaches us that the Kohen has to make the Saita swear, saying to her, if you drink the water and you come out fine, Hinoki, you will be cleared. If not, you will not be clear, and the Mai Hamarim will cause you to die. So Pasha Pshat in the Pasuk, the Pasuk is teaching us that it's a situation, Mechla Lava Tishmehein, that if you are innocent, you will be cleared, and if you're not innocent, you won't be cleared. But the Gemara there asks, how will Rameyer be able to explain that Pasuk, given that Rameyer doesn't subscribe to the concept of Mechla Lav Atishmehein? So the Gemara answers that Rameyer says that the Pasuk doesn't just use the word Hinoki, but Rameyer says that the Torah uses the words Chinki. Chinki means to choke, that you will die. So we see, ask the Gemara, that even though it's a subject of Isser, the parash of Saita is not an issue of Mammon, it's an issue of Isser, yet Ramei is teaching us in that parasha that to be considered, that the Gemara explains the opinion of Ramei, that in order to avoid the problem that Ramei doesn't subscribe to Mechlal Avat Shmehein, we have to say that the Torah uses the words Chinki. Why? If now we're saying the Ramei agrees that we say Mechlal Avat Shmehein when it's a subject of Isser, Ela Epech. We must say that Rameya afila bisura lesle, that we have to indeed reverse the opinions of our Mishnah, because Rameya, even by Isser, doesn't subscribe to the concept of Mechlala Vatishmehein. Ask the Gemara, Maskla Ravina, is this true, that even in a subject of Isser, Rameya doesn't subscribe to the concept of Mechlala Vatishmehein ubisura lesle? Ask the Gemara Ma'ato Shishuya Yain Ufre Rosh the Mimisa Hachanam de Lesle Ramei. Ramei won't hold that if a Kohen comes into the Beis Hamikdash when he drank wine or didn't take a proper haircut, that'll be Chayiv Misa. Because how do we know that there's a Chayiv Misa in such, for a Kohen coming into the Beis Hamikdash in such a way? Because the Pasuk says Yain V'sheich Al Teisht Ato V'nech Itach B'voyim El Oyel Moyed. So the Torah uses the words loisamusu. If you come into the Beis Hamikdash properly, loisamusu. But if you come in improperly, tamusu. You're rachman slan, putting yourself at risk of dying. So the question is obvious. We only come to this conclusion through a mechlal hein after shemei lav. And now we're saying that Ramei never subscribes to such a concept. So will it be that Ramei doesn't will hold that a coin that comes into the base of English this way won't be Chai Misa? But Nan, there's a Stam Mishnah that says Elu Shabbat Misa Shu Yain Puri Roish. Everybody agrees, even Ramei. Ella says the Gemara Olam Tepech. You have to agree. You have to reverse our Mishnah. However, Kilesley, when does Rameya not accept this concept of Mechlala Vatishmehein? But Memoina, Bisura Islay. I, we asked the question, Saita. Saita, why did Rameya have to have the word Chinki with a Ches used if there's an issue of Isser? Says the Gemara, Bishaita is a Isur this Memoina who Saita carries with it an issue of Mammon. Why does it carry with it an Isser of Mammon? Because there's a super payment on the line also if the woman is or isn't a Saita. Hadron lach shvuas ha'edus. We now begin the parak of shvuas ha'bikadin, which again, as we've learned, the Torah teaches us that the halach is that if somebody is holding something of someone else, most rishonim say that the item that's being discussed has to actually be in the hands of the shomer. And the person is approached and told, give back what you're holding. And the person swears falsely that he doesn't have the item, and then he confesses that he lied. That is the case of Shuas HaBikadon. Says the Mishnah, Shuas HaBikadon Noheges B'Noshim B'Anoshim B'Choykim B'Kroivim B'Ksherim B'Psulim. And as Rishonim point out, this is an obvious rule. The only reason the Mishnah has to mention it is because since we learned previously that this halacha doesn't apply by Shavuos Eidos, so our Mishnah wants to say the contrast. Bifnei Bezdin, Vishloi Bifnei Bezdin, both if in front of Bezdin or not in front of Bezdin, although the Rishonim say that even if it takes place not in front of Bezdin, the actual Kfira v'haidah have to be done in front of Edim, that they should be considered haidah. Mipi atzmai, whether the shvua is made by himself, umipi acherim, but if the shvua was not made by himself but it was made by acherim, ein achayiv at shikverna bebezdin, then there won't be a chiyiv unless the kfira takes place in Bezdin, divrei Rameyu. Because as we learned in our previous parak, that since the Torah speaks about Shvua Mipi Acherim by Shvua Sa'edis, and then we have a Gzeri Shava that connects Shvua Sa'edis and Shvua Sa'abikadon, so since by Shvua Sa'edis the Rameyev follows the concept Don Mina Mina, since by Shvua Sa'edis a Shvua that's made by someone else has to be a Shvua Mipi Acherim, has to be in Bezdin, so too will it be by Shvua Sa'abikadon, it has to be in Bezdin. If the person lied in denying that he's holding the Bikadon, he's Chayiv. And again, in explaining the opinion of the Rabbanon, we learned the Rabbanon of the opinion, yes, the fact that a Shvua Mipi Acherim is considered a Shvua by Shvua Sa'abikadon, we learned from Shvua Sa'edis, but it doesn't mean that say the Chachamim that we have to apply all of the details of that rule to Shvua Sa'abikadon, and Shvua Sa'abikadon never has to be in Bezdin, even if it's a Shvua Mipi Acherim. Continues the Mishnah, the Chayiv al Zodoin Hashvua. He's chayiv if he remembered that at the time that he has this pikadon atzel by him, that he's chayiv to bring a carbon asham. This, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, is an anomaly. Normally, a carbon is not brought by mezid. V'ashigosoi imzodin ha-pikadon, or if he knows that he has the possession, but he doesn't know that this false shvua carries with it a chiv carbon asham. However, ve'en chayiv al shigasa greida, means if he doesn't know, that he doesn't remember that he's holding this pikadon, he won't be chayiv. Umay chayiv as a doina, what does he have to bring? Asham bekesef shkolim. He has to bring an asham that's worth at least 2 silver shekel, which we're going to learn. We learn from the halacha of Hisham Ne'ilas. Shvuah Sa'abikadon Ketzad, continues the Mishnah. Exactly what is the case? Amloi, tenli pigdoini sheyesh lebiyotcha. Return to me the item that you're holding of mine. And the person responds, Shvuah she'en lecha biyadi. Or she'amloi, or responds, ein lecha biyadi. And he says, Mashbiach ani, I make you swear. And he responds with amen, and then he admits that he lied falsely, that he swore falsely. The halach is that he has, that's the case of Shvuah Sa'abikadon. He made him swear 5 times, and then the defendant denies the claims. Since he could have admitted to each claim separately, each denial is considered a separate chiyuv. If 5 people were telling him, you're holding our items, return the bikadon that you're holding. And he responds with 1 blanket shvua she'en lechem biyadi. Then the halacha is ein chayv al achas, it's only chayv 1 shvua Sa'abikadon, 1 carbon. However, if he said shvua she'en lecha biyadi v'loy lecha v'loy lecha, then he's chayv a kol achas v'achas. Rabbi Leza Oimer, ein oich, Leza, at shi yoy mishem shvua achroina. he's not chayif each denial until he uses the word shvua after each statement. Shimon Aimer, according to Rav Shimon, even if he says at the end the word shvua, he's only chayiv one carbon, unless he says, I swear that I have nothing of yours in my possession, and he has to say the word I swear at the beginning of each statement. Tenli, if he says to him, Tenli b'kodnu v'chumas yad, gezv aveda sheyesh l'biyotcha, different types of obligations of mine that you're holding, and he responds, shvur she'en l'cha b'yodi, en achayev ala achas. But if he said, shvur she'en l'cha b'yodi, b'kodin, chumas yad, v'gozv aveda, then he's chayev akol achas v'achas. If somebody said, Tenli chitim v'soyrim v'kusman, give me these different types, wheat, barley, spelt, shesh l'biyotcha, and he responds, shvush ein l'cha biyodi, ein l'chayev al'achas. But if he said, shvush ein l'cha biyodi, chitim v'soyrim v'kusman, he mentioned each one separately, chayev al'achas v'achas. Remei amar, afil amet chita v'soyrim v'kusemes, he used those words, and all of this will be explained in the Gemara, chayev al'achas v'achas. If somebody says, as we learned in the previous parak, there's a difference between mammon and knas, and somebody said, Omar, anasto petitos biti, you violated or seduced my daughter, who I am, loy anasti v'loy petisi, mishbiachani v'ama amen, ame chayiv, Shimon Peiter, because he holds that there's no chayiv of shuas pekodin by knas, and here is a knas of chamishim kasef she'ena misham knas al pi atzmai. Amr loy, so chum set him api she'ena misham knas al pi atzmai. There's boish v'gam al pi atzmai, and here is which are mammon, and that's why it should be a case of shuas pekodin. If somebody says gunafti is shayri, v'amr loy gunafti, mashviach ani v'amr amen chayiv, because his obligation to pay the principal, which everybody agree is mammon. Gnafti avloy tavachti avloy mecharti mashbiach ani v'amar amen, then it'll be potter, because the dal v'hei that there's an obligation here is a knas. Him is shorich a shori v'amar loy hemis mashbiach ani v'amar amen chayiv, because he's asking for restitution for the shor that got killed. However, him is shorich as avdi potter, because the halacha is that if somebody kills the other person's eved, no matter what the value of the eved is, you pay shloshim shekel, 30 shekel, which is a knas, and there's no shvuah to be caught by a knas. Amloi, chavaltabi, v'sisa v'chabar, you injured me, causing a wound, v'amloi chavalti loi, sisal chachabura, mashbiach ani v'amme amen, chayif, because it's a question of moment. Amloi, avdoi, however, if the Eved says to his owner, and Eved Kanani says to owner, he pouted shini, b'simisis, you knocked at my tooth, or you blinded my eye, v'am aloi pouted v'loi simbisi, mashbiach ani v'amar amen, he's potter, because there's a knas, that if indeed that happened, no matter what the value of the damage is, that he goes out free. Zakal, call him shalom pi atzmai, whoever, any obligation that one has to pay, even if he made the admission on his own, that's considered mammon, and there's a din of shuas, hapikadin, v'she'en mishalom piyatzmai, that if the person were to admit, he would be potter, because Allah is moid b'knas is potter, it falls into the category of knas, and it's potter, there is no din of shuas hapikadin by knas.